Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. This is 1185B. The Bs are always wonderful guests, informative, stimulating, as you'll see today's is. And the A's, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. You'll want to listen in to the A this week to hear about a AI-driven stethoscope that actually helps us diagnose lung condition and treatments without the patient actually having to do anything more than apply a stethoscope and watch his cell phone. Today, we have Dr. Stephen Lesk. Dr. Lesk has been practicing psychiatry for well over 40 years, I believe. He was chairman of the Department of Inpatient Psychiatric Services at the Brooklyn VA, an assistant professor at the hospital's affiliated medical school. He now lives near Minneapolis, Minnesota, so has been the subject of much cold weather in the past. But his book is called Schizophrenia. It's actually Footprints of Schizophrenia, the Evolutionary Roots of Mental Illness. So this pertains maybe to more than schizophrenia, but the book is focused on that. Dr. Lesk, while we'll get to the evolutionary roots, I want to first talk about what is schizophrenia. But before we do that, I just should say we are sponsored by LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TruBiotics. Go to their website to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials on where those are effective, and you'll also see why I am a consumer of those. Secondly, go to our own website, longevityplaybook.com. Sign up for the free newsletter. It's twice a week, 250 words, quick, and it comes with a cartoon to entertain you and make you less likely to develop mental illness in general. Footprints of Schizophrenia is the book by Stephen Lesk, and we'll get to why he titled it Footprints of. But before we do that, Stephen, let's go to the basics of what is schizophrenia? What do the patients show if they're schizophrenic?
Well, schizophrenia is a chronic mental illness, probably the most severe mental illness there is. And it's been a puzzle for centuries. And what happens is, average people were living their lives normally around the age of 18 to 25. Their thinking changes, and they don't really notice it, but people around them notice it, and they notice that they have kind of withdrawn. They're less concerned with their appearance, and they may start to say unusual things and behave in unusual ways. They may start hearing voices. They may start seeing things. They may be very paranoid and say the government is following them or bugging their phone. And this tends to evolve further until someone is wise enough to bring them to a psychiatrist for a diagnosis, at which point you need to put them on medication, because there is research that shows the longer they go unmedicated, the worse the prognosis.
And is there medication that helps them?
There are about 30 medications called antipsychotic medications. They're very helpful, and the schizophrenic will need to be on them for the rest of their life.
And does this let a high percentage of them, and you'll tell us how high a percentage, live a relatively normal life after that?
Well, once the diagnosis of schizophrenia is made, functional expectations do go down. And a lot of schizophrenics live in group homes with supportive staff who watch them take their medications. They may not hold a job, or they might hold a low-functioning job. They may not marry or have kids. But there is a group of people we call high-functioning schizophrenics. You know, John Nash, the movie A Beautiful Mind was made about, he won a Nobel Prize. Ellen Sachs, who wrote the book The Center Cannot Hold, who went to Yale and Oxford all the time with serious schizophrenic illness. Norwegian Wang, who wrote the book I forget the name of it. But she was on the bestseller list for months, The Collected Schizophrenia. So there's a group of high-functioning schizophrenics, but on average, their functional expectations are going to go down.
Now, you titled the book Footprints of Schizophrenia. Why did you title it that?
Well, we're referring back to evolution in this book and the main theory of the book, which states that hominins, or human-like animals, have been around for millions of years, 6 or 7 million years. But language has only been around for 50,000, which is a drop in the evolutionary bucket. And language changed everything about how we use our minds. It was a complete revolution in our mental functioning. And we're still in this transitional phase. So not everyone is on board with it yet. And those who are least on board are the ones we call mentally ill. I call them evolution's dispossessed. But it's kind of like unearthing an artifact. Their thinking goes back to the type of thinking that primitive people had 50,000 years ago, Neanderthals or other cavemen.
And tell us, so you believe there's an evolutionary process that went awry someplace in this group of people. Is that correct? Is that what I got from the book? And that involves somehow something related to dopamine?
Well, it didn't go awry. It's just that we're in this evolutionary moment where maybe 20% of the population aren't on board with this new way of thinking all the time. And of course, 1% of the population, the schizophrenics, regress back to what I call the primitive organization that we had prior to language. So it's not really going awry as much as we're just not all on board with it yet. And I think my prediction was in 5,000, 10,000 years, there will be no mental illness because we'll have gone through this evolutionary moment. But for now, that's what I think we're dealing with. And it fits the evidence about schizophrenia.
So tell our audience the evidence that this relates to dopamine, if you would.
Well, every medication we use to treat schizophrenia, not only schizophrenia, blocks dopamine. So my theory is that as we learn language, we learn to suppress dopamine in the mesolimbic, mesocortical tracts, which is something we do in the nigrostriatal tract of dopamine, which has to do with movement and motion. Once we got language, we're able to do this in the mesolimbic, mesocortical tracts. So most of us are really good at it, 80% of us, but a few of us are not. And when the schizophrenic illness sets in, they desuppress dopamine, which floods their brain. And we can help them by blocking that dopamine with the chemicals that we call antipsychotics.
So now, I worked in the lab of Irv Copen and Julie Axelrod, who came up with, if you will, one of the serotonergic theories of depression. And they also, I mean, Julie Axelrod won the Nobel Prize for his work on epinephrine, dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. What you're saying is that if we suppress dopamine, we think of dopamine, at least I think of dopamine, as giving us a rush, a happiness, if you will, or a high, if you will, at least a temporary one. What you're saying is this is needed, that high or that dysregulation of dopamine may mean that these people don't adopt language or don't understand language in its full way or have run from high to high. How do those two relate, if you can? Because I've always thought of dopamine as a high.
Well, dopamine is a Pavlovian kind of reward that evolution used to help people function, you know, in their daily lives. Evolution can't rule on anything but mutations. But in their daily lives, if you could have a chemical to reward behavior that promotes survival and reproduction. So that's what dopamine was. It's a Pavlovian reward for those kinds of behaviors. Once we got language and we could use conscious thought, for the first time we could participate in our own thought processes, we didn't really need that as much. And language helps us suppress dopamine in those two tracts where we didn't suppress it before.
I've always thought of the frontal lobe, or our executive function, is what suppresses some of our dopaminergic urges, such as sex and food and alcohol and even sleep. How does this fit with that? Or am I mixing apples and oranges too much?
Yeah, this is a little different. We think that schizophrenia is located in mesolimbic and mesocortical tracts, which are dopamine tracts, and that is where the dopamine is suppressed. Once that desuppresses and undoes itself, then I would say that the frontal lobe is kind of abandoned and left sensorily deprived, which is one reason that it hallucinates. Hallucinations are an attempt to avoid atrophy by the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex. But the center of brain activity has regressed back to that primitive organization, which is my term for it, that we had prior to language.
Now, the book is written in lay terms, in lay language, so I assume this is for people who both might go into science, but people who might have a friend, a family member, know someone with schizophrenia. Are there others in whom the book is intended for?
Well, I mean, schizophrenics are 1% of the population worldwide. You very rarely hear about them. It's kind of under the radar. So this book is intended for anyone with an interest in schizophrenia, people who treat them, live with them, and family members who have them. And I tried to make it as accessible as possible to the average person. But I think it'll help anyone with the slightest interest in schizophrenia, because there really is no other theory of schizophrenia that's this comprehensive. I think it's a game changer, and I think it'll help us understand mental illness better and reduce stigma and maybe refocus some of our research efforts as well.
I want to thank you for coming on. The book is Footprints of Schizophrenia, The Evolutionary Roots of Mental Illness. The book is by Stephen Lesk, L-E-S-K. He's a physician located, and I assume you still have a practice in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm just about to retire.
This is kind of a retirement book then, that is the culmination of 40 plus years of practice and dealing with schizophrenics, who's come up with this very interesting hypothesis, which can lead to research and therapies, we hope. Footprints of Schizophrenia. Remember, we are sponsored by Life's First Naturals. It has nothing to do with dopamine, as far as I know, but they make both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, two things that you'll want to look at their website about, lifesfirstnaturals.com, as they give the randomized controlled trials of how useful they are if you're taking a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, whether it's ibuprofen or aspirin or Advil, one of those drugs, and decrease the gastrointestinal side effects of those drugs. Further, you'll go and look at Truebiotics, their other major product, again, through their website. The other sponsor is LongevityPlaybook.com. Go to their website and sign up for the free newsletter, 250 words twice a week, talking about what makes and keeps you younger for longer. Thank you, Dr. Lesk, and especially you who have downloaded us. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong. Thanks very much for doing it. You're the reason we do this. This has been 1185B. Remember, the A's are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. The B's, great guests like Dr. Lesk. Thanks again. We'll be back next week, and we hope you are.